The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For such a time, bringing the fountains of God's work to all the servants and saints. Hosted by Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. Author, teacher, founder, and senior congregational leader of Arrowhead Messianic Congregation in Peoria. And now, Rabbi Moorhead.
Shalom, shalom, shamashim, kodashim, shel elyon. Peace and prosperity and good health to all the saints and servants of the Most High God. I'm glad to be with you again today to talk about God's Word, which is the most important thing we can do in our lives, is about God's Word. It's not entertainment. It's not having all the touchy-feely stuff. It's understanding God's Word and having God's Word deep into the marrows and recesses of your mind. This is what's really important in our life today. And so I hope you enjoy the message today that I'll bring to you. As I try to bring every week, you know, something about God's Word into your life, and I hope you're enjoying it. And you surely can visit us at Arrowhead Messianic Congregation on Saturdays at 10:17. And people say, "Why do you got 10:17? What a strange time to start a service." I said, "Well, because there's a reason behind that 10:17. Number one, I used to manage power plants, you know, so I had a lot of responsibility and a lot of power at my fingertips, I guess you would say, you know, in dealing with power plants and purchases and overhauls and all these kind of things. And so I learned there, you have so many meetings that I learned that we have. You know, sometimes you could have 10 meetings in a day. And so sometimes a lot of the meetings were odd times because of that. And I also found out that all the meetings that were at odd times, the people would all be there on time. So I thought, well, when I started running a congregation, I decided to have a strange start time. That's how we came up with 10:17. And then we decided to look through the Bible and try to see what verse would equate 10:17 that we want to use as a kind of a theme verse. And we found out Romans 10:17 says, "Faith come by hearing, and hearing the word of God." So because of that, we adopted 10:17 as a start date on Saturday mornings. And most people are there. You know, that's the funny thing about human nature, you know. If it's an odd time, they start getting that time in their head. And because when you say, "Oh, we have service at 10 or have service at 10:30, people say, "Was that at 10 or was that at 10:30? But when you say 10:17, they go, "Oh, that's a strange time. I can't forget that one." And they remember the time and they're going to be there. That's why I do strange times sometime like that. So I'm glad to be with you this morning. And today we're going to be talking about hope. God is hope. This is important for all of us to understand that God is hope to us. I have a saying that I came up with that says about hope. And I wrote this myself, so bear with me. It says, "Hope is a faith, expectation, and trust of a fulfillment of a promise of God, God's word, such as salvation, rapture, eternal life, rewards, kingdom, living in a heavenly city, a place built by God." So it's an expectation of the fulfillment of a promise of God. That's what it is. Now, we use the word hope all the time in different ways, and I call it worldly hope. Worldly hope is wishful thinking. It's kind of like a little gambling. I hope this happens. I hope that my favorite football team wins today. You know, that is not godly hope. Godly hope is more secure than that. Godly hope is the expectation of a fulfillment of a promise of God. So think about all the different promises of God. Like I said, salvation, rapture, eternal life, rewards, kingdom living in a heavenly city, a mansion, a place built by God. All these things are things that God promised, and the idea that he would be with us all the time, you know, and not let us go. We have hope in these things. So when we have hope in these things, it is expecting God to fulfill his promises in us. And it's a faith expectation. We do believe he's going to do it. Even though we can't see it, we know he's going to do it, and then until we see it when it's fulfilled. So it's that expectation. And it's important for us to live according to that expectation, because that amounts to so many good things for us, Lord. It's not wishful thinking. We're not gambling. You know, we're not, and unfortunately, most of the time when man uses the word hope, that's what they're doing. It's wishful thinking. Wishful thinking is not what we live by, but by expectation of a fulfillment of a promise of God. And the Bible's full of promises of God. So we're going to be talking about that today. Godly hope, you know, is where we put our focus on, is godly hope. So I hope you understand that. You need to have your hope set with godly hope, set on the expectations of God's promises. If you have any other kind of hope, you can't always expect it to be fulfilled. You can't expect it's going to work the way you want it to. But godly hope is. If he said it, it will be done. And so we have that expectation. It will be fulfilled. It's a godly hope. So let's look at some of the scriptures that's involved with this godly hope. Psalms 119 verses 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Wow, that's a good one. I hope in your word. Right? So how can you hope if you don't know the word of God? How can you hope in God's word if you don't know the word of God? This is what I've said so many times. Know the word of God. That's what's one of the most important things in your life. And of course, being filled with the Holy Spirit and be able to rightly interpret God's word is very important too. You know, not just become, you know, someone who memorizes God's words and don't even understand the spiritual applications or how it is to be applied in your life. So you hope in God's word. I hope in God's word is what the psalmist said there. He says, you are my hiding place and my shield. So God is our hiding place. So when all else fails all around us and everything is falling apart in our lives, we go to God. He is our hiding place. That doesn't mean he's going to take us off this earth right away. What that means is that we can go to him, and he is our shield, and we can trust in him. It's important stuff that we do that. Psalms 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. On his word do I hope. Again, another scripture says, in his word, the word of God, do I hope, the psalmist says. And so that should be our cry. In his word do I hope. When you see promises of God in the Bible, you need to have hope in that there will be a fulfillment of it. One day there will be a fulfillment of it. So that's very important for us to study God's word. Speaking of that, you know, I've had people say, well, I try to study God's word, but I just don't understand it. You know, when that happens, what do you do? Well, number one, the Holy Spirit is what reveals God's word to you. So you need to seek the Holy Spirit in your life. The other aspect about it, if you don't understand something about God's word, ask God. God is faithful that he will reveal the meaning of those scriptures to you. So just, if you don't understand what God is saying here, ask. I remember years ago, cause, you know, I'm a big prophetic fan, you know, and I understand prophecy real well in the Bible. And so I was asking God, I was saying, God, you got too many gaps. You got too many things going on here that I don't understand. I can't connect the dots to get a good handle on what your prophecy is all about. What do I do? How do I connect these dots? You got to show me. And about that time, I heard the words from God say, read Enoch. You know, I go, what? And he didn't repeat it. I said, Enoch, what's Enoch? I didn't even know what Enoch was. What do you mean, read Enoch? And he didn't reply back to me. So asks a scholar friend of mine, says, God told me to read Enoch. Do you know what Enoch is? He goes, oh, yeah, I've done Bible studies on it. I says, what is it? Well, it's another extra biblical book in the Bible. It was found in the Ethiopian Bible, and it was many copies of it were found at the Dead Sea Scrolls. Really? So how do I get a hold of it? It says you have to go to the Ethiopian Library. And I did, and I downloaded it and printed it all out. Today, there you can get the Book of Enoch in any, you know, any Christian bookstore, just about. But this was back in the early 90s. So I started reading the Book of Enoch, and boy, did the gaps start filling in prophetic utterances that I asked God about. So he answered that prayer. If I didn't know something, I asked God to show me how to understand and fill in these gaps that I see here, Lord God. And he did. He did. One quick word from him, and I'm like, what was that? And he didn't repeat it. Read Enoch. And what did he mean by that? And so I asked around until I found out there was actually a book called Enoch that was out there. A very ancient book. Wow. So those kind of things. So if you don't know, ask God, and he will show you. This is what's important for us today. Psalms 130, verse 7 says, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Wow. Let Israel hope in the Lord. So, you know, if you're a believer, you are also a spiritual Israel. And that's just not a nice word. That is actually from Scripture. You know, in Exodus 12, it tells us, you know, that if you celebrate Passover and have circumcised, then you are as one born in the land. All right, and it's talking about, you know, when they're bringing Gentiles with them on the Passover Exodus. And so, so if you have Passover, well, we understand today that Passover represents Yeshua. He is the Passover lamb. And are circumcised, that means that your heart has been circumcised, that you have been repentant, and that you are seeking God. So if you have Yeshua and you're repentant, seeking God, you are as one born in the land. So you become a spiritual Israel. We also learn, you know, in Romans chapters 9, 10, 11, that we are grafted into the olive tree if you're not Jewish. I'm part Jewish, but if you're not, you're grafted into the olive tree. And that's the most important of the hierarchy of all the trees, is the olive tree. And you say, well, what do you mean by hierarchy, Rabbi? What do you mean by hierarchy? Well, you read this in Judges and dealing with the younger son of Gideon. When the older son took over when Gideon died, then the younger son, and then the older son killed all the brothers off but the younger son. So when the town was proclaiming him the new judge of Israel, the younger son showed up on a hill and began to prophesy, and he told us basically a hierarchy of trees. The most important of all the trees is the olive tree. Why is the olive tree the most important? It's the most important because you get oil out of the olive tree. Oil represents Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit in your life is the most important in that category of the trees. And then it went on down to the vine and the fig tree and all that. What is the vine? The vine is always Israel. Israel is not the fig tree. Israel is the vine. The fig tree represents the temple and the priesthood. That's what the fig tree represents. So, well, wow, Rabbi, why do you say that? I've always been told Israel's a fig. Well, if that's the case, when it said in the Bible that when the fig tree blooms again, not a generation will go by till all these prophetic words be fulfilled. If Israel was the fig tree, well, how long has it been? You know, it's well over 70 years now. And all things haven't been fulfilled. So fig is not Israel. The fig is the temple and the priesthood of God. And I also say that because if you look in the Bible about the different things about the fig tree, when Yeshua cursed the fig tree, he was on his way to the temple. When they come back out and saw the fig tree all withered, they just come out of the temple. And so when Jeremiah laid a bag of good figs and a bag of bad figs on the temple steps, again, it had to do with the temple, indicating that there was good and bad going on in the temple. So the fig tree does not represent Israel. See, but that, you know, that's that was the third most important tree. The last one on that hierarchy of trees, of course, is the bramble or the weed. And then of course, the whole idea of the younger son's prophetic utterances would indicate that his older brother is that weed that is now going to rule over Israel. So there is a hierarchy of trees. It's important to understand how that hierarchy does work. And you learn that through the Word of God. Let's look at Psalms 147, verse 11. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Do we hope in his mercy? Do we really hope? What? Do we have that expectation of fulfillment of God's word in our lives? Do we have that faith action that we live accordingly to that expectation? You know, the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. The Lord that takes pleasure in those that have hope in his mercy. Do you have hope in his mercy? Do you fear him? I'm not talking about fear and that you're trembling and afraid of God. I'm talking about that high respect of God you should have in your life, that you fear him for who he is and what he is and what he says. Yes, we should fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yes, we do fear the Lord, but not in a shaking in our boots kind of concept and afraid of him, but we fear him for who he is, what he is, what he said he will do, and what's going to happen. Yes, we do have those fears. And you should have those fears. It's the beginning of wisdom. And those that hope in his mercy. Do you hope in his mercy? Every morning I get up, I hope in his mercy. Do you hope in his mercy? It's not a wish list. I hope that he's merciful to me. Do you have a full expectation of the fulfillment of God's word when he talked about mercy? That's what should be in your life. Do you have that? Let's look at Proverbs 10:28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. All right, so the expectation of the wicked is a false hope, but the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. So when we have hope and an expectation of things God's going to do for us, there should be gladness in our lives and in our heart. If we don't have gladness in our heart, then we lack faith. We don't have that action, that fuel that just builds the fire up of hope in our lives, which comes by faith. So we want that faith to build the flame, to build the fire that is in us on that hope of that expectation. So, but for the wicked, their hope shall perish because they had a false hope or they had a worldly hope. But for the righteous, it shall be glad. Let's look at Proverbs 14, verse 32. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness. That means you know, to be cast down or cast away, thrust away. But the righteous has hope in his death. So in other words, the wicked will be cast away in his wickedness, but the righteous has hope in his death. We have a confirming hope in our deaths that when we pass on, we know what's going to happen. Do you know that? Do you feel that? Do you know what's going to happen to you when you die? So many people, I get asked this question all the time. Rabbi, explain to what happens to us after we die. Quite often at my congregation, I have what we call stump the rabbi. I let the congregation ask me questions of concepts in the Bible or doctrines or whatever, and for me to explain them, and so I can make sure all my people have a good basis of God's word. So we do the stump the rabbi concept, and one of the most common questions I get is a step-by-step concept of what happens to us when we die. And I have to explain it, you know, people, so they can build that hope up in their death that what awaits them. For instance, it says, we do not yet know how we shall appear, but we shall appear like him, talking about Yeshua. When we die in the resurrection, we are going to appear like him. And you know, people say, "Well, I thought there, you know, there's children in heaven and all these kind of things going on in heaven." Well, that may be in the spirit right now, but in the resurrection, we will be given new bodies in the resurrection. And people don't seem to understand that. You will not have the same body you had before. "Well, I like my body." Well, good for you. Most of us don't. We don't want the same body back. This sickly body, this broken down body, you know, we don't want it back. And God has a glorious body he is going to give us. All we know is we don't know what we're going to look like, but we shall appear like him, the Messiah himself. And this is important for us to understand. So you're not going to come back looking like you did right now in the resurrection. Now, in the spirit, you might kind of look like yourself, and people will recognize you in the spirit. But in the resurrection, that will not occur. And so that resurrection is one of those expectations of a blessed hope. And we're waiting for that. We're waiting for that to happen. So when you die, your spirit goes immediately to the presence of the Lord. That's what it says. To die is to go immediately to the presence of the Lord. And you go into a place they call the third heaven. That's where your spirit goes, the third heaven. And the third heaven is a place that Paul went to when he was translated into heaven. He said he went to the third heaven. He said, whether in the spirit or the body, I don't remember, I couldn't tell. But he said, that's where I long to be. That was an amazing place. The third heaven is where all, where the Garden of Eden is. That's where the Tree of Life is. The third heaven is where, you know, there are plants and there's trees and there's grass. It's just absolutely beauty, the fragrance, the aromas, all that, the best that you could ever imagine in your life that God has prepared. That's where you go, the third heaven. And when the resurrection takes place and you get your new bodies, well, then, you know, God's got a mansion for you, which might be in the third heaven. I don't know where the mansions are going to be. But then you're going to get a mansion, and then you'll have thrones before God. And these thrones will be with Messiah on his throne in the upper levels of heaven. Some people refer to that as the seventh level of heaven. Isaiah refers to it as the seventh level. Enoch refers to it as the tenth level. But it's the upper level of heaven where God's throne is. You're going to have thrones there. That's why the Bible says, "You will rule with me on your own throne at my throne." That's a heck of a calling. That's an amazing calling that's going to take place. Can you imagine that? Oh my gosh, that we're going to rule with Messiah. And the Bible says that we will even judge angels. Did you know that God made you more important than an angel? You are far more important than an angel. And that's very critical for you to understand that, because that's how precious you are in God's eyes. You believe because you believe by faith. You believe in you because you trusted in the Lord. You didn't believe because you saw. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But you believe because you trusted what God said. And that's precious in God's eyes, that you believe because you were moved by his word. You were moved by what he did for you, and you trusted and you believed in him. Believing by faith is the most important thing you could possibly ever do in your life, by faith. When you believe because you saw, it's not the same. It's not the same at all. So folks, understand that. That's so important that we believe by faith and trust in God and have that hope in God, that we will have that expectation of a fulfillment of the things that he has said he has for us, including our own mansion. He said he went to prepare a place for us, and we will have our own place there. And our hope is in that and knowing that we will have a place prepared for us. Like Yeshua said, "If it wasn't true, I would not have told you." He actually said that when talking about that. So praise God, folks. Remember to hang on to the godly hope. It's not a wish list. It's not a worldly hope. It's a godly hope. So God bless all of you and keep the godly hope going. We'll talk some more about the godly hope next week.
For Such a Time with Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. You can join them Friday nights at 7 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 10:17. Arrowhead Messianic Congregation is located at 10738 North 75th Avenue in Peoria. Find us online at myamc.org. That's myamc.org. Until next week, thank you for listening to For Such a Time.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.